Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, we hear a lot about the fight over Enbridge's Line 3 project, but we haven't heard so much about another section of the oil company's pipeline in southern Wisconsin.
Yeah, about a couple of years ago. On its Line 13 pipeline that runs through Jefferson County. It was a spill of a petroleum-like substance known as diluent, around 1,400 gallons or up to 1,400 gallons spilled from a faulty valve fitting. They made repairs back in 2019, but it was more than a year later before Enbridge reported the leak to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and now the DNR is investigating the matter and working with the company to figure out why there was a reporting delay. Enbridge seems to think that there was a minimum threshold that would trigger reporting, and initially they thought that the spill was less than 2 gallons of petroleum substance that had made it out of the valve, but later on, as they investigated, they found out more had been released, and they cited winter weather conditions and the COVID-19 shutdowns as contributing factors for the delay in the reporting. And it's raised some concerns among residents because they found that groundwater has been contaminated near the release. And it looks like it is moving in a plume from that site, but currently not impacting and not expected to impact any drinking water wells in the area.
Mm-hmm. And where again is it?
It's in Jefferson County. So Fort Atkinson, South Central, just outside of Madison.
You know, I've stayed in Fort Atkinson and I had pineapple pizza.
Oh, I love pineapple pizza.
All right. Well, maybe we'll take another visit for it and see if it's still there. Well, something that hasn't been kept quiet for a year is U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany's policy on COVID-19 vaccinations, at least as it pertains to his own family. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, so the latest with Congressman Tiffany is that this week he was making false statements about COVID-19 during a town hall meeting in Hudson. And he also said that he was advising his daughters, who are in their late teens to early 20s, he was advising them against getting vaccinated, which is in direct contradiction to state and federal public health guidance. You know, he was kind of downplaying the impacts of the virus and saying that younger people are largely not susceptible to coronavirus. And while it's true that younger people are less likely than older people to experience serious complications from the virus, it's possible. And in Wisconsin, we've seen 24 people under the age of 30 who have died from the virus. So, you know, his messaging at this town hall meeting really goes against the messages from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Wisconsin public health officials. And in a statement to WPR, he basically said it's up to young adults and all Americans to decide whether or not they want to get vaccinated.
Well, Brooks, on the Minnesota side, you've got a couple of COVID-19 updates.
Yeah, I've got a couple stories from the past week for you. One involves a real-life vaccine study that involves Duluth as one of these study sites. Researchers found that there were 90% effective, the first two COVID-19 vaccines anyway, are 90% effective in real-world conditions and prevented asymptomatic infections, which is a big worry, tying back to younger people getting the virus and passing it on to those who are susceptible to hospitalization and death due to COVID-19. So this is good news. St. Luke's Health System in Duluth was a major participant in the study that was one of 7 sites around the United States. At the same time, we're also seeing some very small micro-level outreach. Duluth Central Hillside neighborhood, and there's a collection of activists who are going door-to-door, talking to their neighbors and saying, hey, what do you need? Well, how is the pandemic affecting you? How can we help you get what you need and get the vaccine? who Central Hillside neighborhood is one of the most diverse and has some of the lowest incomes in the city. And Zeitgeist, the nonprofit, put together this team. They were able to secure grant funding to pay six people to undertake this work, and they'll be doing it through July. Essentially, they want to get their neighborhood through the pandemic as safely as possible, and they want to help a community that has historically not been very trusting of medical institutions for a lot of reasons relating to structural racism and the effects of poverty on health outcomes. So far, so good. I visited a vaccine clinic and nobody missed their appointment, save for two who were sick in March.
Well, as we have efforts like that to put the pandemic in the rearview mirror and restaurants begin to open back up, Brooks, how do you pronounce Taqueria?
I believe it's Taqueria, if that sounds about right. But how about we just say tacos, tacos, tacos. That's the name of a new downtown Duluth restaurant modeled after a traditional taqueria and inspired by years of traveling through Mexico. So Robert Giuliani opened this space up kind of right by the Duluth Coffee and the former candy store on Superior Street there, if you're familiar, not far from the casino. The selling point is, you know, traditional Mexican street tacos, both from an indoor walk-up window and a indoor seating, as, you know, time will allow. And you've got sort of the classic, you know, $2.75 to $3.50 tacos for, you know, you've got El Pastor, chorizo, and others, you know, wrapped in the traditional style. Two small corn tortillas served with onion, cilantro, and lime. So I haven't tried it yet. My colleague Katie did, and she says it's fantastic. So let me know your thoughts, folks, and I'm sure I'll get to try it soon.
All right. And maybe as good as pineapple pizza in Fort Atkinson. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau, including Katie Galeotto, who had those tacos, at www.startribune.com/northreport, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week on Simply Superior, the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore is 50 years old. We'll hear from those most closely connected to the archipelago from a symposium on the designation's anniversary. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.